Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
Dino Long. Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs. Thunderstruck.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper. Happy Friday. ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante.
Whoa.
Back in the house.
I needed directions to get here after I missed the entire week. I was all fired up to come back yesterday.
My mom, were ready for Thursday.
I was. And then Kyle's like, well, there's a Cardinals game, so you don't need to come to the radio station. So in case anybody's wondering, I'm not just playing. Like, Cliff and Urbana is just calling me a part-timer, of course. But my mom, for the second year in a row, had knee replacement surgery on the other knee. Mm-hmm. So I've been Mr. Nurse, I guess, for the last 3 days.
And she doing all right?
Yeah, she's doing. That's she's good. In more pain this time. But, you know, the day after. Okay, so you have the surgery Tuesday. Wednesday, you're still kind of, you know, your body's still got a lot of medicine in it, in other words. And then yesterday, the day after the next day, is the bad one. And she was in a lot of pain yesterday, but she seems to be doing a lot better today. And, you know, it's just one of those where she, I don't know if it's better the second time because you kind of know what you're going to have to go through. And her and I, the only time we fight, like, so we do fight, but it's every time it's about the medication. Like, okay, this is when you take your pain pills. This is how many you're allowed to take. You can't swallow the entire bottle of Vicodin, Mom. And then it's, okay, then there's the Bayer. Here's your antibiotics. You know, here's your whatever, your fish oil that they give you. I don't know what the hell that does. And it's like this. So I finally, what I did, and if anybody out there has a parent that is getting ready to go through this, all you do is every morning you write down painkiller you can take at 7 a.m., noon, 5, 10, done. And everything's answered. All she has to do is look at that thing and say, okay, my next one is at noon. So it took us 2 years and two surgeries to finally, there's things I'm going to write a book about one day in life just to make everybody else's life easier. Like, you should write one about how to use one of those machines that pick up sod. Just the,
yes,
to the everyday man. Right. Like, you should write, yeah, because the guys out there that work outside, they know how to do it.
They're
right.
Good.
They would laugh at you and I, but for the everyday guy like me, like the guy that doesn't, has never done it before, here's your dumb list of how to run a sod, whatever it is. So, but no, she's doing well. She had to listen to me argue and yell, not argue, but yell basically from 6 a.m. on about the Ryder Cup. I got up at 2 a.m. and watched that. A little story to that is that I had to go to work, so I have not looked at the results, the final results of four ball. I know I'm the only idiot out there that ever does this, but I have the rest of it recorded. So if you and I can't talk about that today, that'd be great. I'm going to go home and watch the
That's
rest.
That's fine. I have not paid that close of attention. I've
Your
heard
boy,
some things. They you, were talking about yes, it over yes. there at Ubbin. They did have Illinois Basketball Media Day today, but I will not
okay.
spoil anything.
I'll say this. In the foursome match, Europe went 4-0. And then halfway through four ball, which is where I stopped, Europe, I've never seen a Ryder Cup team, and I've watched this for 35 years. I've never seen a team be this good. I mean, their rookies were unbelievable. The top guys, Rahm was chipping in everywhere. Hovland was chipping in everywhere. Victor Hovland's the best player in the country. In the world, I'm sorry.
Wow.
He really is, Derek. He is playing with so much confidence. I know we've got Illinois to talk about. Illinois basketball, we got Illinois Purdue. We don't have to keep talking about the Ryder Cup. But Victor Hovland is as – he's as confident right now as any golfer can be. And he is out there just every shot, you just feel like it's going to go in or it's going to be right next to the pin or it's going to be, you know, just – I almost said a bad word – you know what, down the fairway. So Victor Hovland is playing great. If the United States, and again, I don't know what happened at four ball. I don't want to know, so please don't text in. If the United States wins this thing this year, it would be amazing to me. It'd be a miracle, I think, because Europe has come out ready to roll. Mm. Okay, that's enough of the Ryder Cup.
I was just a little early on the Hovland train, but I'm having to get back on.
When Matt Fitzpatrick has five straight birdies, by himself, like he is battling Xander Schauffele and who was the other guy? I can't remember who was with him. By himself, Fitzpatrick went 5 under and was 5 up through 6 holes. And I'm like, if Matt Fitzpatrick, who's a really good golfer, won a major, I'm like, if he's out here by himself, like Rory McIlroy was his teammate on four ball, and he was just sitting there laughing. He's just sitting there clapping, going, dude, here you go. You just go tackle this team. I'm going to go in and have a cold beer. You let me know how much you win by, like, you know, 8-7 at the end. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in the end.
I do want to mention no Kyle Tosk. He has gone into hiding after the Cubs got swept.
He did.
There in Atlanta. Two brutal losses on the front end of that
series.
Derek. And we were texting him the night of the second one.
Oh.
They blew two leads. It was 6-0 on Monday that they end up giving up and losing and then lost it late on Tuesday as well.
Isn't it amazing that you fight so hard?
Maybe it was in Tuesday,
yeah,
Wednesday.
Yeah, Tuesday,
sorry.
Yeah. And then they lose 5-3 last night, right? It's amazing how you fight so hard just to get to the playoffs. And let's be honest, if the Cubs make the playoffs, they're not going anywhere, right? I mean, they could win their first round, the wild card, but they're not beating the Braves. They're not, you know. And I know anything can happen. I know this has happened. As a Cardinals fan, we know that from 06 or whatever that was. But the point is, it still means so much to you. And I can tell by listening to all my Cubs fans, by looking at the tweets, by following along with Kyle, I can tell how much they're giving to this and how much it hurts just to make the wild card round. Now, you tell me, baseball made a decision a few years ago to add more wild card teams. You tell me it wasn't a wonderful decision. I mean,
it was.
It's a great 100%. Decision. And so you've got the Cubs now fighting for that, whereas 4 years ago or whenever that started, you would have been, they're knocked out already. So it's a cool thing, and it does mean something to make the playoffs. But, man, I feel bad for them, and there's still time. There's still time. Maybe Maybe the Brewers don't care.
The Brewers have shuffled their rotation. So
yes.
Earlier in the week, okay. It was going to be Woodruff tonight and then Peralta on Saturday. Right now they're going to get Colin Ray tonight instead, and then
he's a singer, isn't he? I think he's
unlisted.
He's there
starter.
In concert tonight in Milwaukee. Hey, Colin, I know you're singing this concert after the game. Do you mind just pitching?
Pitch for Milwaukee. And they don't currently have their starter listed for Saturday, so could be catching a break.
Okay.
Unfortunately, as Kyle has laid out, the other teams in this mix, Miami. And if Cincinnati were to go on a run and sweep the Cardinals this weekend and the Cubs take a couple more losses, the other teams have tiebreakers over the Cubs.
Oh, I heard him say that.
But also, another notable thing is Miami's playing 3 in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're at Pittsburgh, and like as you mentioned, Cincinnati at St. Louis. One note about the Cardinals. Sunday's game, Rob reminded us, Sunday's game starts earlier. I think pregame's at like 12:30, so they're going to do kind of a ceremony for Adam Wainwright. So Sunday, if you're wanting to hear that, you need to tune in even earlier. I think first pitch now is around 2 or a little bit after, but I think it's like 12:30. You can hear the pregame right here on ESPN 93.5 of Adam Wainwright and the ceremony. They're going to honor him, 200 wins. I mean, what a career, 2,200, I believe, strikeouts. I mean, just in two World Series. So they're going to honor Waino And is he then playing a concert that night or something, or is that tomorrow night? Or
I don't remember which night it is. He's going to DH at some point, potentially. Yes. He's going to have a concert and a fireworks show.
Just have him lead off the first. Well, no, he can't. He can't because we're the home team. I was going to say, you could just have him lead off the game and then be done with it, right? Just, hey, Adam Wainwright.
You could put the DH spot top of the order.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
In the bottom half, he comes up, he hits.
Boom.
Or strikes out or whatever.
Whatever.
And then,
hell, play him in center field. Let's see if he could play the outfield. I mean, maybe he'd hit and we'd say, next year, do you want to play instead of Dylan Carlson? That's terrible. I'm bitter.
I'm very bitter. I haven't... Other than Waino's 200th win, I don't think I watched him since early August.
Oh, it's terrible. Well, at least you got the Bears. Oh, wow. Sorry. Oh, that was so cruel. Oh.
No, never mind. It's a Friday.
Cade.
Not getting sad.
I want to tell you about your dad back in 2023.
You can list pretty much any year of my life.
I can see Cade finally being able to old enough to have a beer, and he's going to go out with Lon. I assume I'll be around. I don't know what. I'll be so damn old then. But I'll just be like, Cade, huh? I won't be able to hear him, but I'll be like, let me tell you, back in 23 when your dad was so fired up about the Bears. I am happy for the Lions. I think you've rubbed off on me to where I don't want the Packers to win. Like, the majority of the fans around here that aren't Bears fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Either root for the Steelers, the Cowboys, or the Packers.
Yes.
And I hate all three. And so when I go out to the tailgate lots or I'm just locally at some wherever, I am getting pounded every day. Just people are like, hey, dude, take it easy on my Steelers or take it easy on my Cowboys. By the way, how about that? How about the Cardinals beating the Cowboys? I mean, come on. They smoked him. They smoked him. Okay, I'll shut up.
You're not even mad about it.
Yeah, I know. And I was mad early, and then I'm like, no, you know what? Because if there were 60,000 people in that stadium, I don't know what it holds, probably more than that, but let's say there's 60,000 there, 48,000 were Cowboys fans. And I'm like, you know what? That's all I needed to hear. I hope we whip your ass. And we did. And I was like, let's go. All right. You've been talking Illinois basketball here for the last couple hours.
I have. Yes. Brad Underwood, Shauna Green spoke to the media. And then we got to talk to the players afterwards for the Illini basketball media day. Practice officially begins next Friday.
Sweet.
And then before you know it, you'll have the first exhibition game. And Kansas, before the end of the month, is coming to town
wow.
to play that one.
How cool is that? How cool, too, that Shauna Green's program, we saw what they did last year. They've got almost everybody back, plus a couple of additions in terms of inside and just depth in general.
Mm-hmm.
So unless that was the biggest outlier that's ever occurred, I think we've got a chance now to watch two basketball programs win at a pretty high level, like both win 20 games. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to sit here right now and think 40 times from – what, November or whenever they start, from November on or December, whatever it is, 40 times I'm going to walk away happy watching an Illini event. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, now there's still other things, obviously, that both programs need to achieve in March, et cetera. But it's pretty cool to know, at least, especially with what you and I've got going with our professional teams, just getting 40 wins out of the Cardinals, Bears, Arizona Cardinals, Blues. I mean, you could combine all of them. I don't think they won 40. So I'm excited for Illinois basketball to have a couple of teams. How good do you think the men's team could be? Here's what somebody asked me, and then I'm going to ask you this. Somebody asked me that, and I said, the thing that worries me is it seems almost like it's a miss, like a just a mosh pit of things. Is it a team? And I don't mean that they won't get along as a team and that they won't act like a team, but it almost feels like, hey, we're going to throw all this stuff in this pot
mm-hmm.
and hope that this stew comes out as good as it's ever come out. And it worries me a little bit that I don't know what direction you're going, really. Maybe identity would be the right thing to say. That was kind of how I answered it when somebody asked me that. What is your gut feel really early on this Illinois basketball team.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to put it. I like a lot of the ingredients, but you might be missing, of course, one of the key ones, and that being a effective and proven point guard.
The salt?
Yeah.
The salt for the stew.
I forgot the salt. Now, if Ty Rogers is that, which he'll still tell you with a straight face and very confidently that he's going to be that guy, and Brad Underwood and the staff will say the same thing, and they think behind him, Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn, who is a freshman, is talented. I know that for darn sure, but is he going to make some of the freshman mistakes that a Jaden Epps made? And we saw just when you had inexperienced ball handlers last year, Illinois struggled to get into their offense, and their offense really, they didn't have an identity last year. It was that they took bad shots and that they didn't run a whole lot of anything. So how Brad approaches scheming this offense is going to be interesting to me. Is it going to be more set plays? Do they trust Ty with the ball in his hands and pick and rolls to get other guys involved? I think the shooting should be a little bit better. Is it going to be drastically better?
Right.
I don't think that based on their Spain stats and based on just kind of the upgrades they've made, they weren't that dramatic. But I think what I'm getting at big picture for me is that it's a deep team, I think. It's a more experienced team. It's a very veteran-laden team. After last year, you kind of needed role players who were freshmen. Now you got players who are maybe fifth-year guys from Utah Valley, SIU, or Oregon. So I think this team can contend in the Big Ten. I don't think they'll win it. I think Purdue is still the odds-on favorite to win the Big Ten yet again. Michigan State's up there, although some people might overrate them a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
I think Illinois is an upper-tier Big Ten team. I think the ceiling is second weekend.
Okay.
I don't think they're a Final Four team or anything like that. Yeah. I know everybody's like, oh, yeah, don't sit here and tell me that. But at the same time, I think there is enough of a concern that if you're missing a piece again, like a pivotal one at point guard, it could torpedo your season. And I don't see them missing the tournament because I think they're too talented. I think they're too experienced. But it could be another frustrating year if that were to happen.
I think you bring up a good point. You've got so much veteran experience now. Plus, you've got two guys that should be drafted in the NBA draft. So when you look at it like that, you've got a lot of talent on that team. And if a guy like Shannon goes on a heater in the tournament, or you know, you get to, let's say you get to that second weekend, you squeak out a win, or you get a nice break and play Oregon State in the Sweet 16, and then all of a sudden you're in a Final Eight game against a Houston where you're not supposed to beat, but all of a sudden Shannon gets a heater like he did against UCLA, and somehow you make it on. Now we're dreaming here, but.
Well, hey, I mean, you would have had to dream to get FAU to the Final Four or San Diego State. So, I mean, it's possible, and I don't know.
How many times has a program like Illinois, and what I mean by this is someone that is expected to make tournaments, so someone from the Big Ten, you know, one of the top teams in the Big Ten or the ACC or et cetera, how many times has a team made a run to a Final Four and we don't look at it the same as an FAU because we just assume they're supposed to be there. Whereas that team, like that FAU team last year, and we're going to see that this year, that is a legit squad, right? So, yes, we were caught off guard by that, and it was a great story, but you're going to find out this year that wasn't really anything that crazy. I don't know that they're a Final Four team, but certainly this is a top 20 team that Illinois is going to face in New York.
Yes.
So
MSG.
I wonder how many times a team from, you know, it'd probably be that like UConn that one time when they were like the 8 seed or whatever it was, or maybe
Syracuse
not an 8.
Had one of those years too.
Yep. That they went on a run and we dismiss it because it's a Power 5 team, but in a way it's like they just kind of made the same kind of run FAU did. In other words, the probability of that team making a Final Four is the same as what FAU is now that we know how good FAU is. That's getting kind of deep here on a Friday. Sorry about that.
I think, you know, fringe top 25 team.
Yeah.
And I think that you'd hope that with the more veterans, the fact that guys returning beyond just Terrence and Coleman, like Ty's back for another year, Sincere, Luke is healthy and back. Like this should be a more consistent, trustworthy team. Last year was just a roller coaster and it made a lot of people nauseous and the highs were great early and then the rest of it was pretty bumpy. for the most part. So I think that it'll be fun to see how this thing all comes together. I like the potential in general, and ready to get this thing going. But yeah, I mean, give credit to Shauna Greene for bringing back she did, starting off on such a high note of getting to the tournament. And I'll be honest with you, there have been media. I've been to like 10 of these now. I'm a veteran.
Yeah, you are.
I'm getting old.
Hey, Lauren.
Yeah, right, exactly. And the women's coach usually kicks it off, and then the men's coach comes in next. There have been years when Nancy Faye is up there, and you're all like kind of looking around like, all right, who's going to jump on this one?
Who's asking the question?
Let's not make it super awkward and not ask anything. But there's been no reason to have that much interest in Illini women's basketball. That's not the case at all.
No.
With this team and what they did last year. And so I think that's great. I think it's great for Shauna. It's great for recruiting forward. And legitimately, I want to get over to State Farm Center and watch them play this year.
I do too.
They were a fun team and a good one last year. And there's good competition in the Big Ten too.
I think that's a legit Big Ten contender with Illinois. With what they did last year and getting most everyone back, I think this is a team that could do some damage. And you keep in mind, you're in a second year now of Shauna Greene in this system. Now, maybe that helps other teams get an idea of what Shauna is doing, but I can't imagine that it's not an advantage to these Illinois players being able to play a second season under Shauna Greene. And I just think she's one heck of a coach, and I think we're extremely excited to have her. I know I heard Stevie J, I think it was earlier this week or maybe last week, and I had never thought of this. He's like, I think Brett Bielema likes where he's at. I think Brad Underwood likes where he's at. Mike Small just signed a new contract. You can go on down the list. Shauna Greene could be that one coach that we need to worry about. Like, if she has another sparkling, like, Sweet 16, let's say they Sweet 16 it this year or whatever, that might be a coach that some major colleges with women's hoops programs that have been very good, they may come calling to Shauna Greene. And I thought that was a great point on Stevie's part, because I hadn't really thought of it. It's been a while since we've had to worry about something like that.
True.
And so I thought to myself, ooh, that is true. Because, I mean, what she was able to do last year and the excitement that just picked up like a tidal wave throughout that entire season, I think it's awesome. I hope a lot of fans go out and really watch and support and cheer on that team, because I think they're going to be fun.
Absolutely.
And we don't get the girl from Iowa, what's her name?
Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark. I don't think Iowa comes
in. Oh,
the
dang.
Only time Illinois plays Iowa is at Iowa this year. Now, that is where you and I missed the boat.
I would go on the road and see that game.
Yeah. I mean, if you knew what you knew now, after watching her in the NCAA finals, that Iowa team finishes second, and I told you that team came to State Farm Center last year and Illinois beat them. If you knew that, you would not miss that game for anything.
I know.
And you and I both missed that game.
Yep.
And I wish, if you were one of those that went to that game, you saw...
It was New Year's Day, right?
I think it was, yeah. If you were one of those in attendance, you saw one of the best Illinois women's basketball wins ever. Because that team had maybe the best player in the country on it and went on to finish second in the country. I mean, that's if you could do now, if you knew now what you know, if I could tell you that now, you and I would be hightailing it over to State Farm Center to watch that game. There's no doubt. So make sure this season, and you and I talked about it a lot last year, we're going to make sure we get out of here one night or more than once, and we run over and maybe have a cold one somewhere, and then we get to State Farm Center to watch Shauna Greene's squad. That's going to be fun.
Let's do it.
Okay.
We have probably buried the lead a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Illinois plays Purdue tomorrow in a pretty big game. Let's talk more about that the rest of the show, really, but we'll dive in after this break. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I. A line and link text line. Scott and Terre Haute says the Packers stunk last night. Shows how bad the Bears are. Yeah.
I was just happy to see the Lions win. Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you with what he's saying there.
But yeah, no, I felt awesome for David Montgomery.
Yes.
Three touchdowns, and finally, I don't know if he's ever beaten Green Bay.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Beat the Packers, because he played for my terrible organization, Chicago Bears.
He's like, I had to get out of Chicago to beat these guys. Listen, Detroit, I would love for somebody to write an article about how Detroit has built what they've built. Hutchinson, you know, that defensive line is really good.
Their offensive line is really good.
Really good. Kirby Joseph is adding a lot to that team.
Yep.
I mean, they have kind of built that team from the lines out, if you will, out, if I want to be Canadian, but also with, like, Hutchinson's a stud. And, you know, he's one of those Bosa types, Watt types. He's amazing what he's done for them. But it is cool to see Detroit. They are legit. They are an absolute legit team, and I picked them to win that division. And to go to Green Bay on a nationally televised game, and, well, to most people, and to win that game, I think that is that's huge for Detroit. Huge. I think they could have won the division last night. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, you got Minnesota 0-3, you got the Bears 0-3, the Packers now you've already beaten at Green Bay.
Very, very possible.
So,
and it was nice to see just a few chinks in the armor for Green Bay, who was getting a lot of hype. next Hall of Fame quarterback, maybe. He's all right. He's solid. He's decent.
He's decent. But he's not, so far, what the last two were. And that's only
fair.
Yeah,
let's stop putting the side-by-sides of,
correct,
here's Aaron Rodgers through three games. And I know that's what TV people got to do. But
I mean, this will be probably the third time in my 53 years now, Drink, by the time Thanksgiving rolls around. Maybe three times that Detroit's had a team that was worth watching on Thanksgiving. Yeah. Now, you always watch when Barry Sanders was there.
Of course.
Whether they were good or not, he was a highlight show that you had to watch that. But you legitimately, whoever they play on Thanksgiving, and I haven't looked, is it the Bears?
I don't think so.
Oh, my goodness. Derek is left-handed typing right now. Whoever they play on Thanksgiving, they're probably going to be the favorite to win that game. Unless it's like Kansas City or they got stuck with like Buffalo. But it'll be interesting for the first time, or I mean for maybe the third or fourth time in my life, that you watch a Detroit Lions game and you feel good for that home team that they're probably going to win that game. So
the Green Bay Packers
in
Detroit.
Oh, how nice.
Obviously.
Oh, let's go.
That's a big game.
That is a big game. All right.
I love that.
Do you have the other Thanksgiving games pulled up?
I need to do that.
Oh, don't worry.
I was just searching the Dallas.
Look at me.
Detroit.
Like, I'm worried. Like, it's not even October, and I'm pushing Thanksgiving to us already. Christmas music in the background. Turkey. Oh.
I'll get this to you, and then we'll catch that.
Why don't we make turkey more often?
We should.
Have you ever thought about that?
We really should.
Like, one of my favorite meals that everybody knows is just white, cold white turkey on toast with mustard and then nacho Doritos and a Mountain Dew. It would be one of my last meals that I would ever have on earth. If you told me this is it, this is the day and you got to eat whatever you're going to eat. And then for some reason, the rest of the year, I never make a turkey. Why? It's some work.
Yeah. It takes a while.
It takes a while to make. Number
one, you
got
to carve it.
You got to carve it. Yep. There's a lot of mess afterwards. I mean, there's some stuff to it, but
then you got a lot of leftovers.
You do.
It's delicious.
How cheap is it? I mean, a turkey's not that expensive. You could feed a family of four. You could have a turkey once a month and eat for a week, right? So you got a week you got 12 weeks of the year done on turkey. I would do that.
I actually made one or two when Haley was pregnant the first time, because they say that whatever the thing is that
women
who are pregnant aren't supposed to eat, like the cold cut.
Yes.
Meats, which I don't understand the science behind that at all, but she's like, hey, could you, and it was a smaller turkey. It wasn't like, hey, here's a 16 pounder, like throw this on the grill and smoke it for me. But yeah. it's good. It's good stuff.
I don't know why we don't do it more often.
I don't know. We should.
I need to shut up.
The Cowboys play the Rams.
Oh. There's usually a third game, right?
There'll be another one that night.
Oh, okay.
I'll effort that during the break.
Probably the Steelers and Ravens.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
All right, if you want to win, you can. 217-359-2255. Let's talk some Illinois-Purdue.
Let's go.
Let's get Lon's feelings. We haven't tapped into what Lon feels about the performance last Saturday and then what he expects in a pivotal game for both sides there in West Lafayette tomorrow. Stick with us. We'll get to that. This is The Drive.
UC Bank, leading the way to your financial wellness. No matter where your financial journey begins, Pathways banking options at Busey are designed with your goals in mind. Busey Bank, building strong financial futures, one family, one street, one city at a time. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
As the summer temperatures rise, make sure your energy bills stay low. Call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing to upgrade to a high-efficiency Lennox air conditioner. Dogtown offers financing, including 0% no interest for qualifying customers. And if you have rooms in your house that don't seem to stay cool, call and ask about the great rebates on the Dyack and Douglas mini splits. Call Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing at 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Did you know the Anita Purvis Nature Center is a home for live animals? Stop by the Nature Center. View the turtles, owls, snakes, and salamanders. These were orphaned or injured animals who wouldn't be able to survive in the wild. But they help educate the public at the Nature Center. Sponsor an educational animal for as little as $15 a month. And make sure that animal has good food, housing, and medical care. For details, visit urbanaparks.org.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's talk some Illinois-Purdue. We've circled this game since the offseason.
Yes.
With the feud, I think feud's a fair word, between Brett Bielema and Ryan Walters. Even though if it,
you think?
Even the underlining tone is,
I see what you're saying.
Is friendly.
Okay.
It was some friendly jabbing, it
seemed
like.
Yeah. I'm with you there. I think...
It wasn't Lou Holtz and Ryan Day.
Right. And I think Brett Bielema made a lot of sense when he said, basically, that, you know, here's the scoop. It's nothing against Ryan Walters leaving and taking a head coaching job. You want that to happen. You know, you want everyone on your staff to be able to go and become a head coach one day. That's kind of, you know, that's what it is. But it's the idea that you went to... basically a rival, essentially, and in the same stinking division right now. And it's like, Ryan, there were a lot of other jobs out there. Why did you have to take that one?
Yeah, I mean, he had to take a Power 5 head coaching job, however it was going to come. And
right.
People wondered if it was going to be Colorado. We saw what they ended up doing, getting Deion Sanders.
Gee, money.
And it's worked out pretty well for them as well. I don't think... there's anything in terms of a grudge for Illinois to hold against Ryan for taking that job, even if it's an unfortunate circumstance of now you just got to battle against him in recruiting and on the field in the West. But it has been some, I think that because of the recruiting dynamic and you're going out and trying to get guys in the portal, you're trying to recruit guys from a similar area, especially on defense. It's kind of been a, no, this was my defense. It was me, it was him. And that's just the way it's got to go. You're trying to take ownership of the number one defense in the country last year. He was the DC. Bielema was the head coach. And I thought Bielema's comment, like, even before the season a little bit, was like, it was a little peculiar and a little bit like, did you need to say that?
I agree.
Because he goes, you know, I even told Ryan, you know, some of the stuff that he was running in Missouri, you know, I told him, man, we got to run our defense. There's some things that concern me. Anyways.
We found that out about Brett Bielema, though.
Yeah.
I love having Coach B. I think he's a great coach. I hope he's here for a long time because I feel like he's made this program competitive at the very least. I mean, even barely beating Florida Atlantic, which I can give you my thoughts on that in a while, at least you're pretty competitive, right? You feel like going into these next six or seven games, you got a legitimate shot of winning. But there are times where he throws a subtle little thing in there that's like, did you just self-brag? Like... he self-brags
quite
a bit.
He does.
Quite a bit. And
he's still brash. They said that about him in Wisconsin. He's not the same youthful in that type of a sense. But that's fine. You can be a puff-your-chest-out guy.
I agree.
When you finally give Illinois an 8-win season after how long they went without.
I mean, how funny would that be, though, if that was just a little – behind-the-scenes jab at Ryan Walters that Ryan Walters knows is coming and he's just laughing.
Right, yeah.
It'd be like you, Trevor, and I having three separate media platforms and making these little jabs about, well, you know, Piper was never, it was always Tay and Piper. You know, and in reality, you and I would be laughing over it's a beer a going, bit, who yeah. gives a crap? Yeah. But then everybody else out there is like, oh, did you hear what Lon said about Derek? And so wouldn't it be funny, though, that like Ryan Walters, like coach is like, you know, Coach B texts him and goes, dude, I've got a press conference today and I'm going to nail you. And then Walters like has to watch it on YouTube and he's like, oh, he did, man. And it would be funny to just know that there's that. But I listen, these guys are competitive.
They are.
Very yeah. competitive. And you said it right. It all boils down to the recruiting. Obviously, you want to win these games. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, Ryan's trying to establish. I mean, this defense is giving up 32 a game for Purdue. That's got to be driving him mad. I he probably can't even sleep at night. And then, of course, you got Illinois, who just lost a lot of your defense. And you're trying to figure out. And you're starting to see a little bit of it. But yet, you know, how much are we really seeing of it? You want to see a little bit more dominance even. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. And I read today in Illini Inquirer that there's a lot of Illinois kids that are going to be in West Lafayette being recruited by Purdue and Illinois. And so you look at it like that, and I guess you look at it in the sense that Ryan Walters is thinking, hey, I'm going to take my shot. You know, we probably aren't supposed to win this game, but I'm going to invite all these kids over here in case we do. And then I can sit there and say, hey, you know, I know you want to go to your in-state. I know Coach B is preaching how, you know, he's building this through the state of Illinois, but we just took care of you for like a third straight time or however many times Purdue's beaten us. It seems like forever. I think Andrew and I were there in a deluge the last time we beat him there. But it is kind of funny. And then if you're Bielma, you're like, you know, if you win this game with all those kids there to see Purdue, you basically puff your chest out even further and say, yeah, you see – you guys, it's kind of a cool little funny thought that you'd go to Purdue, but you see who the better program is. I mean, so I think this is going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to this game. It's too busy. It's too bad I can't watch it.
Oh, no. We're going to do no, this,
aren't
we?
I'm going to go somewhere.
You've got to figure this out.
I'm going to go somewhere and watch the game. I am going to find a spot to watch this game, but I am not giving in my $5.99 to Peacock. I'm just not doing it. I've got it. That $5.99 now goes to gas. So
you act like this is like a wire transfer to Russia. Like it's a Peacock subscription. That's you know you can do a free trial or whatever.
I act like I'm not gonna. It's either watch this game and pay $5.99 or eat. That's the way I kind of look at it.
But you can do both. You're right. You can go to an establishment. Yeah. You can eat and watch the game. Yep. They can worry about the subscription to Peacock, and then you leave when it's over.
And then somebody now is going, all right, Tay, you're going to take your kids. You're going to go eat. You're going to spend $100 at an establishment. So instead of spending $6 and just giving in, you no. The principal of it says, nope, I'm going to go support somebody local, spend $100, and in the end I spent $95 more than I should have. Especially if Illinois loses that game. Yeah. This is a big game.
It is for both teams because you look at it from Purdue's side, not to where I'm trying to start there, but if they lose this game, then they have at Iowa and they have Ohio State coming to West Lafayette. They'll be 1-6.
Yes.
If they lose this game, in all likelihood. I know Iowa can't score right now, but no doubt. I think for as bad as Purdue's defense has looked, that's probably a game they would lose as well. Illinois, I mean, they've underachieved in all four games, in my opinion. I think that they've been underwhelming in respect to expectations in every game they played so far. Have there been bright spots along the way? Yes, Luke Altmyer early. The defense has shown some encouraging signs of late, especially Penn State.
Agree.
But for them to be the team, that there's still a lingering, I don't know, a light at the end of the tunnel that says you could still be similar or maybe even that team that we expected at the beginning of the year. Yes, the offensive line is a big, big concern that we didn't see coming. And you can go through all the finer details, but the bottom line is most people expected them to be 2-2 after four games. You win this game, you get Nebraska at home. All of a sudden, you could be 4-2 with still a lot to play for.
I totally agree. I mean, and not only – I think there's more to lose on Illinois' side. I really do. But it is interesting that Ryan Walters still hasn't won a home game. He's 0-3 at Ross-Ade, and if Illinois goes there and beats him, now you're 0-4, and like you said, what's coming up? I mean, he's going to go now a handful of games without winning his first game at home even. Well, I mean, he's won a game, obviously, the West Virginia, I believe it was. But
Vatek.
Or Vatek, I'm sorry. But then they got hammered by Rutgers, I think. So I think this should be a game that Illinois wins. I feel,
on paper, I think if you just stack the rosters next to each other and the circumstance of Bielema in year three versus Walter in his first year ever as a head coach, like that should tilt the edge to Illinois, in my opinion.
We always look for themes going into games. You know, like against Penn State, it was stop their running attack. Or, you know, I can remember against Toledo, I'm like, you just need to dominate up front. Just control the clock, get your running game going, which they still really haven't. I mean, so you're always looking for themes in games. Is it as simple as whoever turns the ball over less in this game? I mean, I was reading today, like, Hudson Card has 5 fumbles, 4 lost, and 3 interceptions. Mm-hmm. So he has 7 turnovers himself. That's the quarterback you tried to get along with Altmyer. And then their running back, that Devin Maccabee, has fumbled the ball 5 times this season. So right there, there's 12 turnovers between essentially their starting running back, who was a walk-on, and your starting quarterback. But then you look at Altmyer, who's 2 games, you know, off a 4 interception game. He seems to throw one every game. You know, you had Josh McCray cough it up. So both teams have kind of had an issue with, and Illinois also had the penalty issue. They had it last year. Well, yeah, on both teams.
I think they're both the most penalized team in the Big Ten. And then turnover-wise, I'm imagining they're stacking up towards the bottom of the Big Ten as well.
I would agree. I know you guys visited, was it Mick Walker?
It was, yep.
And I know he had talked about just how big this game is. I didn't get a chance to hear that, so I'm anxious to hear this statement from him. But I do feel like this is a big game. And like you said, you know, I can sit in that tailgate lot after Florida Atlantic and pout. And I did. I pouted. I was pouting. I went home early. I just was like, I'm not feeling it. I was underwhelmed by the victory over Florida Atlantic. In fact, I was kind of downright disappointed in the sense that I knew Kansas would be tough. I thought we could beat them. Obviously, they get out 34-7. I did not think you could beat Penn State. Toledo, I wasn't sure because I know that they're good. And by the way, those 3 teams are, what, 11-1 right now. And then you get Florida Atlantic, and it's finally like, okay, this is a Florida Atlantic team that's coming in that's could be a pretty good team that could stay within 3 scores. Oh, wait, what are you telling me? Oh, their starting quarterback is out. Are you telling me that, like, most of their running backs are out? Oh, you're telling – and then all of a sudden, you're in danger of losing this game almost. And
down 10 zip, like, snap of a finger.
And I was just like, this is really – because I when it was 10-0, I remember saying, all right, score the next 30, and I'll feel good. You know, win this game 30-10, and I'll walk out of here, or I'll leave this tailgate feeling good. And the next thing I know, when they won that game, was I happy they won the game? Yes. Are they 2-2, better than 0-4? But I was sitting there thinking, okay, it's just, ugh. And now it really worries me going into these games that I felt like if things would have been what they should have been, like an offensive line that if you need to can drive 80 yards and eat up any kind of time you need to eat up with 4 running backs, one of them being able to just, but that's been an issue. Altmyer has been better than expected in most games. Obviously, he got a little Penn State happy in that 3rd game. But it's, I don't know, I look at this, I mean, Isaiah Williams leads the Big Ten in reception, so you're getting stuff. Good. Johnny Newton has looked really good. I'd like to see a little more out of Keith Randolph. I'd like to see a lot more out of Akis and Coleman, although Akis came along. But it's just, I look at this and I'm like, I thought this team could be, even if they sat 2-2 and you lost to Penn State and Kansas, I wanted to feel better going into this stretch that you should go over to Purdue and win that game by 10 points. Then you should beat Nebraska by 17 here. And you know what? You could still do that. Like you said, you could still be 4-2. Then all of a sudden, I'm going to be the most optimistic Illini fan in the world thinking we're going to go back to Tampa for a bowl game if you're 4-2. I mean, I really would.
Jason brings up a good point on the U of I line on the text line. This game is the Spider-Man meme. Porous offensive lines, decent quarterbacks, both have defenses that shoot themselves in the foot with stupid penalties. 217 said, I was just about to text, turnovers and unsportsmanlike penalties will have more to do with the outcome of Saturday's game than anything.
I remember the first time I ever saw the Spider-Man. And I don't know if it was you or Trevor or someone sent it. And I sat there for like a minute going, I don't get it. Like, I don't get this. And then I think it was Trevor is like, well, basically saying, you know, like we're the same. And I'm like, oh, okay. But it took me a while to figure that out. But that is funny. It's true. Because you've got two teams here that are still searching for themselves. I just think, man, it would be great to bury Purdue after what they've done to you the last couple of years. Bury them at home. Get to 3-2. Beat Nebraska. Get to 4-2. And let's have some fun the rest of the year. It would be great. It would be great to go over there and beat them by like three touchdowns.
I think it would.
Then I would. The Kool-Aid would be flowing.
Flowing back this way.
Big time.
Beyond just kind of the save your season, keep the optimism alive, implications for both sides. But I also, like you said, Mick Walker, Purdue 24/7, spoke about just this having a little extra juice because of the coaching staffs being so familiar and wanting to beat one another for recruiting and just all benefits that come from a win like this. He spoke earlier this week. Here's Mick Walker.
Just naturally, just it being a football game and knowing where these two teams are at in the season, there's going to be some juice. Because essentially, really, it's hard to see a path for either one of these teams that if they lose, you get the bowl eligibility, especially with Purdue with their schedule seeing Ohio State and Michigan on it. But when it comes to just the animosity or just different feelings about the coaching staff, I think there's a lot of mutual respect, obviously, but I think there's also a feeling of, hey, it's great to work with Brett Bielema. It's not necessarily now that they're moved on, it's not necessarily we need to take it easy on them. They obviously want to win. They want to beat their former boss. So I think that adds a little extra juice, but that's the adding juice for the coaches. Does it add juice for the players? I don't know. I still just think that there's going to be a natural kind of excitement for this game, knowing that I think the players will buy in, knowing what the coaches have kind of gone through and where they're from. Knowing that this is a game that means a lot in the Big Ten West and means a lot for the season. Gus Hardwick kind of talked about it yesterday at his media availability. There's a big difference at this point in the season, looking at 2-3 and 1-4. I think knowing that, that's really big for Purdue.
You know what strikes me about this is you turn on the TV Saturday and there's Kirk Herbstreit and that gang, you know, at some big game in Tennessee or Alabama or LSU or Ohio State or pick your blue blood, you know, and you look at those and like every week it seems like there's that big game, right? Like even Georgia, the number one team, they're going to beat Auburn probably this week. But if you're an Auburn fan, you've had so much that you've won national titles, you know, and you sit there and I guarantee you Auburn fans going into that game are thinking we probably can't beat Georgia, but you know, why not? I mean, you know, we're Auburn, we're proud, we're in the SEC. We've got athletes, let's go beat them. And then, you know, what would be then a footnote in an hour-long or in a three-hour-long show, the footnote would be in the Big Ten, Ryan Walters, who was the defensive coordinator for Brett Bielema, now faces his old coach as Illinois travels to Purdue. Also, Minnesota, blah, blah, and they just go right on, right? So you get like a five-second clip on something like that. And in a funny way, whereas there's all these other big games nationally, Notre Dame and Duke. I mean, think if you're Duke, right? A team that is trying to, they're 17th in the country. Notre Dame's like 11th. Notre Dame needs a win after last week. And what a weird, I mean, that was crazy. That wild game. But, you know, you look at Duke and you're like, man, this is our chance. We could beat Notre Dame. We could be top 10 or, you know, maybe not top 10, but you know what I'm saying. And then you look at this little bubble that we live in. Of Illinois and Purdue fans are just like us. I mean, right? They've got a great basketball program like we do. They take a lot of pride in their basketball. Their football teams are decent. I mean, Purdue won the West last year, so you've got that. They've had some good things in the past, you know, them more notably with Drew Brees and such. So you've got little things like that, but yet in a weird way, like while everybody else in the nation is worried about this game or Colorado and USC, and it's like our little bubble is like, this is a big game. And like nobody outside of our bubble would even, they would laugh at that. They're like, what is? Well, Illinois plays Purdue. Like I could see me being in Vegas at a sports book with a beer and like a group of like 10 guys at a table. And I'm like, hey guys, this game coming up right here, Illinois Purdue is huge, dude. And let me tell you why. And they would be like, dude, we don't care, right? We don't care. And I'm like, no, listen, if we win this, then we've got Nebraska at home. We could be 4-2 And then, you know, if Purdue wins this, then blah, blah. And this group of 10 guys is over here betting on these big college games. And they're all sitting there going, oh, I want to like this guy, but he just keeps talking about Illinois and Purdue. And so then you find yourself sitting by yourself, you know, because it's your little bubble. And it's like, you're just murmuring to yourself in a sports book, drinking a beer, going, this is a big game.
These guys don't get it.
This is a big, these guys don't get college football.
Ole Miss and LSU for some reason.
Yeah, like, what the hell is that?
Who cares?
Ooh, Lane Kiffin. Ooh, who cares? Yeah, I mean, doesn't it seem like that? Like, yes, in a funny way, if you
perfect way to put it.
If you just put it in our bubble, this is a big game because we're not used to winning 10 games a year. We're not used to going to Rose Bowls. We're not used to doing this stuff. We want to get to 7 or 8 wins. And if you're going to do that, this is a big game. I've thought of that over and over.
I think that's a great way to put it. I think Purdue fans are already probably resigned to the fact that, hey, it's year one for Walters. Yes, we're going to take some pops in the mouth. Let's get the basketball season. Let's win the Big Ten again. But this is like the last glimmer of, hey, wouldn't it be awesome to beat Brett Bielema? And they talk trash about us during the offseason. Yeah, their fan base is annoying on Twitter.
Yes.
So they're going to be bought in. And look, Purdue has done a good job of having pretty good atmospheres at their football games. They get great student turnout.
They do.
So they're going to be in on this. They lose this game. Like I said, fast track to 1-6. They'll be completely
basketball
camping
mode
out at Mackey. Illinois fans, this is like the last stand of, if you don't win this game, get me to basketball season. I don't care about football anymore.
I mean, if you don't win this game, now my sights are directly maybe on 6 wins and a really poor bowl game. Which, in a way, is like, well, I guess that's good because we normally don't go to bowl games. But, no, but you're right.
I just think the calibration of what the season is going to be or what's possible. Like, I think you lose this game and Nebraska comes in, you could be like, yeah, we could lose that. Yeah, we could lose to Wisconsin.
There's no doubt.
Could lose on the road at Minnesota, and
there's no doubt.
I think it would get to a point where a bowl game, obviously, now is we've thought of it as almost a foregone conclusion for this team. And
when
you have Johnny Newton, you have Keith Randolph.
Yep,
you have a lot of things to like in terms of like preseason picking out the roster. It wouldn't be a guarantee if you lose this game.
That's a great point. By the way, Purdue had a 7-2 guy on campus, is what I saw, and I'm like, well, of course they did. I mean, does every 7-foot dude just automatically now want to go to Purdue? I mean, goodness sake.
I got to get to this before we catch a break. A 317. Get that, not 217.
Oh, that's over in Indiana.
Why does Derek have to type left-handed? And is Lon onto something? Be a free thinker and have turkey when you want it.
Because your right hand runs the board.
It's just the orientation of this whole thing.
Yeah, his
the text
laptop.
Line's on my far right, then the board is in right in front of me, and my laptop's on the left.
And that's the other thing. Laptop has always thrown me off. I always want to say laptop.
Laptop.
But a laptop is on his left. It's the only place you can fit it. That's why he's a left-handed typer on that. And it's unbelievable how well he does that. And I think I am onto something about having turkey more often.
I think you are.
Turkey is good for
you. Some people have
said
turkey's overrated, like, because it's too dry or what.
I think
have
it would
you.
Be overrated if you did have it all the time.
Yeah.
But 4 times a year, let's say, with top or stovetop, I know you don't like the stuffing.
I know. It's not my favorite.
But
I'm not worried about if it's dry, you probably didn't cook it exactly right.
I'm not
trying to start any fights here. Number two, your turkey, if you're eating it on the day of Thanksgiving, should have gravy on it. If you're not doing that, don't talk to me about being dry. And then if it's not Thanksgiving, it should be either lathered in mustard like Lon or mayo like me on a sandwich.
Yes. I say in 24, our goal is to eat turkey more.
Yeah.
Now, the turkeys out there are probably like, whoa, time out there. Time out.
Like, when are we supposed to live?
Yeah,